the Word of God for new truths, and that they understood that God was restoring the church. They understood that it fell away. God had brought them to that revelation. And they fled and came to this country. Or like the Bible said, they flew. God gave them flight. He made a way for them to come to this country. It was, and to start a nation that was to be one nation under God. And that's history. We learned that in school. We just, many of us have forgot it. But men that understood and had conviction in their heart about the Word of God and a nation under God that could worship God in freedom, and the restoration of the Word of God could continue, to think that they'd go out there in that fort knowing this is suicide. But that flag has got to stand. We cannot come back under that rule. They was looking at their children and their children's children and the heritage of God's people and the purpose of God, and they was willing to give their life for it. I didn't understand all that I learned in history in school, but after I listened to this email, I thought I'll never hear the Star Spangled Banner again the same way. It means more to me now than it ever meant. And I wish we could have had a big old red flag up there flying over the screen while it was singing that song. But anyway, so I'm thankful today for where God has brought us, and then the body of Christ. That, you know, this country came into existence, and it was a little over 125 years or so that God began to move this Reformation into a greater order, into a greater presence, a habitation or a convocation, an assembly or a gathering of His body. Together. That's a tremendous thing. Brother Souders got a revelation that the church was a body, that it was supposed to be in unity and just be one body. And that he began to preach that God's people needed to come together in one body, one spirit. And that we're to have the Spirit of Christ. That's a difference in the book of Romans. Let's look at a verse here in the 8th chapter of Romans, where it says that in the 7th verse said, "But the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it cannot be subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his." You can have the Spirit of God in you, or have the Holy Ghost, and still not have the Spirit of Christ. But we're to finally be developed and finally take on the Spirit of Christ. True righteousness and true holiness, a true understanding, to give us the Spirit of truth. Sister Thompson was giving us these words of thankfulness and forgiveness. I know the Lord does that sometimes. He just give you a word and he just wants you to dwell on it, meditate on it. I know before I was praying for the the ministers' meeting here in Little Rock in October of 2008, and I was asking God for direction for that meeting, and all I could get was two words. And that, I got two words too, Sister Thompson: build and edify. And so that's what I talked on in opening up that meeting, and then men built on it. And the Lord dealt with us on building and edifying the kingdom of heaven, the body of Christ. Well, I know that thankfulness. I talked a little bit about that on the 22nd Psalm yesterday in Russellville on Jesus, that Psalm which was depicted Christ on the cross, where he was talking to God, and he said, I've called out to you all day long and all night, and you won't answer me. Where are you? Why have you hid your face from me? But then he said, but God, thou art holy. Thou that dwellest in the habitation, dwellest in the praises, or inhabits, that's what he said, he inhabiteth the praises of Israel. And he talked about the forefathers, how when they called on you, you redeemed them, you helped them. Begin to have a thankfulness and an appreciation in his heart, knowing that he was really saying, I know you hear me, God. I know you're going to deliver me, but not the way I want to be delivered. You're not going to get me down off this cross. But when you're done, thank God, before Jesus yielded up the ghost, he hollered out, it is finished! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God he finally, it was accomplished in him what God sent him to finish here. Not only for himself, but for you and I. I appreciate Sister Abraham's burden for just seeing souls saved. I really feel like that a well-balanced church ought to have some soul winners in it. We ought to have some sort of ongoing means of reaching out to the lost and seeing souls saved, people that are lost in the world, and seeing them brought in and just watching them get forgiveness and cleansed and delivered from their old sinful condition and life. And God, for God to lift that load of sin off of them and to do something in their lives. Brother Daniels was talking to us here today about how God lifted him up out of a pit. Well, he got me out of one too, but it wasn't exactly the same pit, but it was a pit. It was a pit of sin. I mean, it's that pit out there is so big, it's so deep. But God got every one of us. If you're saved today, it's because God's grace finally touched your life. And here's the thing about it. If God's not able to touch you deep enough to really get you out of sin, you realize God's got to touch you that. It may take several touches. The one man, Jesus, he prayed for his eyes and he said, what do you see? He said, I see all men like trees. He was a blind man. And you know, John the Baptist came and he said, every tree that brings forth not fruit will be hewn down. That was men. That was mankind. Men like trees. Sometimes when God touches you the first time, you don't really get what God touched you for. You don't really get a clear sight. Everybody that's touched of God the first time, many, sometimes it's several times. God has to touch your life. I remember God's hand was on my life from a child. I got the Holy Ghost 48 years ago. And I just a boy, 12 years old. And God had his hand on my life. But when I came to this body, God touched me again. I wasn't seeing nothing clear. It's just men as trees. I just seen mankind, and I didn't understand it. It wasn't nothing clear to me about it. But when Jesus touched that blind man again, he said, "What do you see now?" He said, "I see all things clearly." Oh, God. When God touched me in this and let me see this, God touched me so deep. Now, I didn't know if I could make it. But I was sitting in an old 19, I believe it was a 58 Ford pickup. That sounds old, but that was back in the 70s. It wasn't that old. I was sitting in that old truck, and I was by myself, just sitting there. And I was thinking about this call of God in the body of Christ. And I said, "God, I don't know if I can, this perfection that you're talking to us about, me, this whole message I'm getting," I said, "I don't know. I don't know if I can do all this." But I said, "God, it looks like to me it'd be worth the price that's got to be paid." I saw my family, those that had influence over me and all of my kinfolk. I saw them all headed in one direction, just like cattle headed into slaughter. And like they're in a stampede. And I thought, "God, if what you do in my life just makes a turn, if I can't make the complete turn, it'll be worth my life, me giving my life just to make a turn so that something will change this direction that we're going in." I remember that day. And that's what I made a decision and a commitment that day. I'm going this way if I don't do any more than make a turn. If I just make a turn in the way we're headed, the way my life is headed, everybody that'll fall in behind me. I got out of the truck that day. I said, I'm going this way, Lord. I'm going this way. If it just makes a turn, it'll be worth it." I want you to know we're serving a good God. He done more than just make a turn in my life. Hallelujah. I feel like I've went 180 today. Hallelujah. He done more than for me than just help me to make a turn. I feel like he's got me turned around completely, and I'm headed for the prize, the mark of the prize of the high calling that's in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Telling you, we're serving a God that can do more than you think he can do. He's capable of doing more. Let me tell you this. I started out serving him in this. I just like some of the rest of y'all. I don't know how many of y'all come in this when you was kids with your mama, daddy, maybe just your mama or just your daddy. But you got in this maybe when you was young. And I got in this and I didn't, you know, I mean, I was just getting the concept of it. Listen to me. You got to get past the concept of the body of Christ. You've got to get past just the concept or the idea of what this vision is about. It's finally got to get down in your heart and get a hold of you. And you finally, your understanding, finally, God gets into your understanding enough. You young people, I don't care if you was born in this. You're not in it till you get a real deep conviction and vision of it. I'm going to tell you young people something. You're in a tough world to grow up in. If God don't help you, you'll never make it. If you don't seek God and beg Him for a deep enough touch, start just telling Him, just say, God, I'm like the blind man. I need that second touch. I don't mean just two touches. I mean that second touch that causes me to see everything clearly. Because we're living in a corruptible world. I'll tell you something that's getting a hold of people out there in this world right now is you young people need to be careful from it on this internet and all this stuff. It's immorality, pornography, touch getting a hold of people's lives. And it's a damnable sin. If you let that get a hold of your life, and the only way to get away from it is cut it off 100%. Don't dally with it. And not only that, but other sins. But I feel like that's a sin that's getting a hold of young people's lives. They get on that computer and they get into those pornography sites because young people experiment with sexuality. Every one of us experimented with it when we was making that crossover from adolescence to adulthood. Somewhere you have to come into that. But there's so much now to experience in it and to delve into. If you're not careful, you'll become a prisoner. You'll become a prisoner of delving into just finding out about sexuality. And pornography that's in this world is imprisoning young people. Better get it out of your life, it'll destroy you. Find somebody. The best way to get it out of your life is find somebody to confess it to. Because if you keep it hid inside yourself, you can't hardly overcome it. But if you find somebody that will keep the confidentiality of it with you, that you can, an elder, that you can confess it to, and tell them, I've got a problem in my life and I need your help. Told my wife this morning, I hadn't shared anything with her about it. I said, you know, I stopped our prayer meeting. And I said, but I've been praying and asking God to give me some direction. And I said, I'm going to share with you some things God's dealing with me about, but I haven't got the full, hadn't got it completely lined out what God wants yet. But I said, I feel like we need some prayer groups. We need some ongoing prayer, but just going down to the church one day a week for an hour ain't getting it. You can't get enough people involved. But I said, if somehow God can help us, I said, pray with me about this because I feel like the Lord's sharing some things with me or dealing with my mind about it. About how to get some different prayer groups that'll just take some time out of their regular schedule to earnestly pray about some needs. I'd love to see, like I said, I'd love to see our young people, somebody to get enough burden for the lost, for more young people, that y'all would take an hour a week, that you'd call one another. Somebody would find somebody that needs saved. And that you'd dogpile them in prayer. And see if God would deal with their heart to save them. Somehow or another, we're going to have to wind up before this is over with, go to the highways and hedges and compel them to come. We're not doing that, are we? We aren't fulfilling that scripture yet. But the Lord, He began to deal with me and touch my life. And I never will forget this. I was in this a few years. And I mean, let me give you just a little testimony, just a little part of my testimony. I served God from the time I was got the Holy Ghost, or you know, I always been in church with my mom, always drug me to church whether I wanted to go or not. Thank God for that. she hadn't have done that, no telling where I'd wound up. I love her today for that, for making me go to church. I didn't want to go. In fact, I was there one day when I didn't even care what was going on. I just was there, you know, just a little captured brat in the church. Had to be there because Mama drug us every time they opened the doors. But that morning, the Spirit of the God started moving on the young people. And those midwives in there began to gather us kids together and get us in the altars. And I don't know, I was playing tit-tat-toe or something back there. But they got me up front, and the Spirit of God that day fell, and I got the Holy Ghost. I didn't even want it. I don't even know that I was asking God for it. But because somebody else prayed, because there was mercy laid up for me, God heard prayers. And God called me into His kingdom and gave me the Holy Ghost. And He never let me go after that. I've done all kinds of things, ungodly things. God never let me go. I tried to make my bed in hell, but He wouldn't let me. I used to go out honky-tonking. I'm ashamed of this today, but I did it. And I'd go home about two-thirds or maybe four-fourths drunk. And I'd lay down with the old boy that was in the room with me. We was roommates. We rented an apartment together. He'd be laying over there snoring. I'd be laying over here in the bed, convicted all over me. God's conviction. And I'd be saying, God, I know I'm doing wrong. Say, God, somehow get me out of this. Help me, Lord, to get something in my life that'll change this. Sometimes I'd take my, I always slept on the left side of the bed then, and I'd take my foot and let it off the edge of the bed and let it hit the floor to keep the room from spinning. I was so drunk I couldn't, you know, the room was just going around and around when you lay down. Brother, you know what I'm talking about. Now, I wasn't crazy like you, but this just like 1 or 2 years of my life. It seemed like forever while I was going through it. I didn't do all that stuff, but I made a running stab at it. Yeah. And I'd say that prayer, you know, now I lay me down to sleep. I'd end it with that. And then after my wife and I were married, I was in the Army, and we went to church, but I really struggled. I struggled. I couldn't, you know, smoking was something that was real hard for me to give up. God delivered me from it the first time He saved me. But when I took it back the next time, I couldn't. God didn't deliver me of it. I just had to quit with sheer strength. I struggled with that. I understand people that struggle with that. God was trying to get me out of the world, get the world out of my life. And I'd do all right, but then a trial come my way. I didn't have enough of the Word of God in me. The Bible says that, the parable of the sower. When afflictions come for the Word of God's sake, that would come in my life, and it would see how much of God was in me. I'd get offended. And I'd give up. And I'd backslid. Well, I mean, it might be next Sunday. I'd go, you know, at least in my heart, I'd go back to the altar, and repent again. But I struggled in my heart. I couldn't hardly stay connected to God. I didn't have enough of a vision, an understanding of God. I honestly have it's hard for me to see how people out in the religious world can serve God like they do. I couldn't do it. I have to admire them for it. Because I didn't get a deep enough touch. I had the Holy Ghost. I even preached the gospel. I had a call on my life, but I couldn't hardly walk straight because I just didn't have enough of a vision. It didn't make enough sense to me. No, it just wasn't. There's too much that didn't make sense. You know, God did that to me, no doubt. You know, I just couldn't be satisfied with believing that you just do the best you can do, and when you die, you're going to get to go to heaven. That just didn't make sense to me. I just knew that there had to be more to it than that. Or that Jesus' blood, just his red blood, would forgive me of all my sins. And that made me clean and holy. That didn't make a lick of sense to me. It don't still today, because I know the Word of God better today than I did then. God will forgive you for what Jesus did, but it still don't make you heaven ready. It gets rid of all your past sins, and God accepts you as his child, and he'll impute righteousness to you, but you're nowhere near ready to go to heaven or get eternal life out of that. There's a process. God's got to work in your life to get the sin nature out of you. When I began to get that meat of the Word of God, I began to say, this is the truth, and this will do something in my life. Brother, when I remember a few years, I was in Midland, Texas, pastoring a church. My dad killed a steer and asked me if I wanted to buy half the meat. He said, me and Mom don't need it all. I said, I'll buy the other half. So he called me and said, your meat's ready. It's in the locker. Well, what he was telling me was, you need to pay for your half. I don't care if you come get it or not. And I had news for him. If I was going to pay for it, I was going to go get it. So I got my van, you know, it's like a 4 or 5 hour drive, and I got my van by myself, and I was driving down. to San Antonio, Texas, from Midland. And I got to praying on my way down. And I just felt like Jesus was sitting in the seat with me. I got to singing a chorus. I can't recall it right now. Maybe it'll come to me. Yeah, I have decided. I got to singing that. I have decided to follow Jesus. I just in my van singing that song. And something came to the reality of me that something has happened to you. You hadn't even thought about it. You went through hell over a broken rail the last few years. I mean, when God brought me the body, you talk about humbling me. He humbled me. I needed humbled. I was so full of pride. But God took me down. I lost everything I owned when I came this way. You'd have thought I'd have ran. You'd have thought I'd have said, I don't want nothing to do with you guys. I come around you and hell broke out in my life. I'm telling you, this message got a hold of me, and I knew what was happening to me. I knew God was humbling me. And I began to sing that song that day, and a reality came to me that you have decided. You've decided. You've made a commitment that you'll never turn away from it. If you keep a hold of what you've got, you'll never turn from this. Let me tell you something. It's a wonderful thing when you get to a place in God where you feel like nothing can separate me. I don't think, really, since that time, I think if the wrong things could have happened to me, it might have. But God protected me. But there was a commitment what I'm telling you was there was a commitment made in my heart that I had never made like that before. And I come to the realization that I'd made that kind of commitment. That God had got a hold of my life in such a deep way that I was committed to Him. No matter what. That's tough to say, isn't it? If you really have very much of a vision and understanding of God, it'll scare you to say that. It'll scare you to say, God, no matter what, I'll serve. No matter what. I'll serve you from now on no matter what. If I have to be one and get shot and give my life for it, for your purpose, I'll serve you. You know, it's hard to make that kind of commitment when you really know what it means, but But I had made a commitment to God that He'd got a hold of my life in such a way that I was committed. It made me committed because I thought there's nowhere else to go. I was like the disciples when they asked Jesus, when He said, "Are you going to go away too?" He said, "Where would we go?" That's how I feel today still. Where would I go? If I decided to quit serving God, where would I go? Back in the world? Let me tell you something. I know something about the world. I know what it's like to go to bed at night with sin hanging over your conscience. I know what it's like to be imprisoned by sin and corruption of this world have a hold of your life so strong. I know what that's like. I know what it's like to be without God and without God's blessings. I know what it's like to be among family members that don't know God. Sin's got a hold of their life. You can't talk to them about God. You can't even mention God around them. They'll get away from you if you do. I used to be among that crowd. I know what that's like. I don't want that no more. I don't want to get back in that. I've been there. I don't want the way of this world. I know how destructive it is, and I know what it's like to be a prisoner to sin. I've been liberated from sin. Hallelujah. I may not have got rid of all the nature of it, but it's not got control of me. I've not become a servant to sin, but I have become a servant to Jesus Christ and righteousness, which liberated me from sin. And His righteous purpose working in me has changed my life so that I just can't go back on it. It's doing so much for me, and it's accomplishing so much. You know, you might look at me and say, you still need some help. I know it. Keep praying for me, because I'm still planning on getting the help I need. I know you can see it better than I can, but I'm loving so much of what God's done for me that I'm willing to stay here to get the rest of it. Let me say something about that before we go eat, and I'll get down from here. Jesus is red blood. I don't want to make light of that. I don't want y'all to not get what I'm saying. Jesus' death on the cross, He was a sacrifice. He was the lamb slain, but you need to get this. That right there on that cross is where the type met the antitype. Right there is where the fulfillment of God's true purpose took place. That Jesus's red blood doesn't have efficacy unto life. Eternal. He was a sacrifice. All those blood sacrifices that were of the lambs and the goats and the bullocks and every sacrifice for sin and peace offerings and all that was under the old covenant pointed to Jesus's death on the cross and Him giving His life. And God wasn't interested in His red blood. Get that. God wasn't interested in Jesus' red blood. That'll never save anybody. The blood of bulls and goats could not save people from sin. And neither could a human's red blood. But that blood represented something. It represented the Spirit of God, which was the life, the true life, the eternal life, the everlasting life of God that was dwelling in Jesus. That was the blood that'll wash you white as snow. That was the life of God that was in Jesus. And He became a sacrifice on the cross, and God honored that for the type being fulfilled of the old covenant. But Jesus hanging there on that cross met an antitype of the fulfillment of a blood sacrifice of the Holy Ghost life that Jesus had dwelling in him that he laid down. Listen to me. That red blood never was carried into the temple or heaven itself. The antitype covered that all up and engulfed it in the reality of a Holy Ghost perfected life that was laid down, sinless life that was laid down for you and me. And God accepted that perfect sacrifice, Holy Ghost sacrifice, Holy Ghost life. When God carried his sacrifice back to heaven itself, not a tabernacle made with man's hands, but he went back into heaven itself. He didn't carry no bowl of red blood. Get that? He didn't carry back red blood. This song we're singing, the blood that Jesus shed. Well, that song means more to me than it ever did. With the understanding that that red blood typified the Holy Ghost life that was in Christ. Yeah, he made a commitment. Matter of fact, he gave up the ghost. He was an overcomer. He couldn't have died, but he tasted death. Poured that soul out unto death, and God left him dead. He tasted death for you and I. He didn't have to, but he did for you and I. And that sacrifice, what the Lord did, the acceptance of what he did, we're forgiven of all past sin. The life that he lived in the Holy Ghost and died and laid that life down for you and I. God accepted his sacrifice, and the Holy Ghost then, not the red blood, was applied to your... The Passover lamb's red blood wasn't applied to the doorpost of my heart or yours, but the Spirit of God. When the Spirit of God touches your life, and you get the door of your heart gets touched and gets the Holy Ghost, the life of the Holy Ghost that was in Christ gets applied to the doorpost of your heart. You accept that and it gets applied to your life. And you begin to partake of the Lamb, the whole Lamb. Death. The death angel has to overlook you. Death, the curse of death, the sentence of death has to be suspended over every heart that's had the life of the Holy Ghost, of the Lamb's blood, life applied to it. Because God's touched you with life. And so, God, you know, I don't think we ought to try to bring new saints into a complete understanding of all of this. They just need to know Jesus did die for them. And he died that their sins could be forgiven them. And that they'll feel a deliverance. And the lifting off of the condition of sin of their life. But if they'll let God keep touching their life, he'll finally pull them. Because let me tell you what will happen to them. They'll sin again. They'll have to come back to the altar again. But if they get the touch of God on their life, they'll finally say, I've been touched so deep that God's wrought something in my life, that this has become my life, this has become my way. Oh God, thank God for his saving grace, what he's done for us. I don't know if we need to make any announcements before we go eat, but this announcement I want to make. Wednesday night is... there won't be any service Wednesday night for Thanksgiving. Thursday, I always let Wednesday night out. Let you all, a lot of people's got company coming in or going to your families, and it's a time to spend with families. And And I think it's a good time for that. Let your light shine wherever you're at. And be thankful. And then I think Sister Thompson's words to us would be good to heed to. If you got anything in your heart against anybody, it's a good time to forgive. It will hinder your thankfulness. It'll hinder that. It keeps a negative overshadowing in your life. If you've got something in your life, a burr under your saddle, so to speak, let it go. The Bible says, if you forgive, so will my Father, which is in heaven. If you forgive not, neither will my Father forgive you. You got to have a heart of forgiveness. Let it go. If you got any problems, you got anything against anybody, it's a good time to let it go. Turn that over to God. Here's something God's working in my heart. You know, God knows all of His children, and He knows what they're capable of and what they're not capable of. And a preacher that's starting to work with other preachers and have other preachers and other churches to deal with and work with their problems. You know, there's an order of the body of Christ that I understand, and I know it's necessary. But I also know everybody can't work perfectly in order until they get order established in their life. And you know, people who's God's people that don't really have that in their life, God loves them. They're His children. And He has to work with them where they're at. And why should I be over here saying I ain't working with you where you're at until you get where I want you to be? That ain't how God works. But God's dealing with me to love all of His children and to realize that some of them can't leave where they're at unless somebody's willing to help them. And if we're not like God and we don't learn to love them where they are and where they're at and have enough wisdom to see that they can't get from where they're at to where you think they are to be without some help. So if we don't get some patience in our life and long-suffering and begin to work with God's children and love them where they're at and be willing to let them develop from there and not force them to be where we think they are to be. He that winneth souls is wise, the Bible says. Let's be wise. Let's start winning souls and reaching out to others. All right. Is there any other announcements we need to make? Let's all stand and thank God then. This has been a good day. Is there band practice at 4? 4 o'clock band practice. Service tonight. There won't be any service on Wednesday night, so that means be sure to be back tonight. Some of you can't make it a full week without 2 services to get you through. All right, you seniors, we'll pray for you as you go down. Your food, by the time you get there, it'll have grace set over it. So go ahead and make your way down. Thank you, Lord.